I think it honestly is mood dependent.
Half an hour seems long.
I reckon.
For like the intercourse part of sex, 20 minutes is an upper limit.
Yeah, you start starting to feel like a bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
That someone's putting their hand in and out of, or not their hand, but...
No, no, it could be a hand.
Could be a hand.
Could absolutely be a hand.
Yeah. Yeah, not so good. It's like reaching into a stocking when you've got all the gifts.
You're just,
I don't know if that metaphor quite works.
You're just hoping for some chocolate money.
It's like reaching into a stocking.
Well, you'll find some chocolate something, am I right? Poo. Guys.
Are we recording?
I think it's recording now.
This is a little this is what we call preamble.
Yeah, leave that
this
in.
It's just in our relaxed state.
And then we're going
to
hit it
hard. Do you want us to sing us in or something? I'll sing us in.
Okay.
How's the song
No, the theme
again?
Song plays on its own.
I'm sorry, Mum.
We'll cut this.
It plays.
I'm sorry, Dad. No.
I did a beautiful job.
I'm sorry, Aunt Lydia. I'm sorry, neighbor.
I'm sorry, Mum. It's not a... No.
You're got getting it. Every lyric right every
I'm
time
sorry,
you do
Mom.
Oh, okay.
It's not a phase. It's in the way of
start it from the top again.
Not a fight.
And
this
welcome
is
along
absolutely terrible
to this episode of
The
Male
Gaze.
: A Star is Born - Part 2, The Barbara Chronicles.
This
featuring Bona.
Featuring Alison in from Bonas of the Heart, who you've already heard, let's be honest, too much of, given how many times she sung our theme song. Which also we can just press play and listen to a pristine version of.
If you haven't tuned into part one of this...
Wait 1 second.
Oh, okay.
You don't like the original recording of our theme song?
No, I love the song.
You're unhappy with...
The vocal performance.
My vocal performance? I gave it my all.
Yeah, I bet you did.
And she has notes.
Yeah.
What, okay, what do I need to change?
Everything about yourself.
That's honestly, I'm
I know,
in
it's
too
full on, man.
You
don't
state.
Yeah. So
you know where I'm
night,
at emotionally right now.
I just could feel you getting into a bit, and I honestly, here was my reaction. I don't care about this bit.
I could tell your
just,
heart wasn't in
I,
it.
My heart wasn't in yeah, it, and then I was like, but I want to support you, but I didn't know the best way to do that, and so like I didn't fully pick a direction. And
what's great is the unpacking of this has undoubtedly made me feel much, much worse.
Oh. Well, I'm going to kick into the admin. Welcome along to part two of The Male Gaze : A Star is Born - Part 2, The Barbara Chronicles. That's his official title. If you haven't listened to part one, I mean, you're lost, but you could go back and listen to it. Basically, what we're doing is watching all of The Star is Born
except
movies.
Except for the very oldest one.
That's not a musical.
Yeah, because we need
I
songs.
Wouldn't really classify any of these as a musical, to be honest. I would say they're movies that have too many songs in them.
Movies with several, 10-minute songs in them.
God.
And so the first movie we watched was the Judy Garland version, 19-whatever.
And I look back on
49,
that
49, I think.
Right.
56, I
yeah,
think.
That sounds right.
I look back on it with, really, I appreciate it so much more having watched the Barbara one.
Wow. I appreciate the length of the Barbara one in relationship to the 6 to 7 hour opus that was the Judy Garland version.
Yeah, but at least in the Judy Garland one, every time I looked up, I was seeing an interesting picture. I was hearing something.
Every time you looked up, which was...
Well, I was working on my laptop at the same time.
You were doing a lot of work during the movie.
I would say there was too many noises of... what would you call those?
Keyboards?
Foley. Foley. It was like you were writing a report, like a hard-hitting, I've got to get this out by morning.
Tonight, I was writing a submission form. I had to get it done. It's due tomorrow. I'm sorry.
What are you submitting for?
I don't want to tell you guys.
Oh. Why not?
Just a cool show.
Oh, congrats.
You're welcome to come and watch.
I don't know. Can I be in it?
It hasn't been accepted yet. And it might not, because I was writing the form while being quite distracted by this film.
Well, now
I
our listeners are intrigued.
I watched it with my full attention. I didn't once gaze away.
You were on your phone quite a bit.
That was for medical reasons.
I was on my phone a lot, and I would say I was on my phone the least.
No. You were on your phone way more than me. Literally, every time I looked at you, you were on your phone.
And I took a photo on my Instagram of us watching the movie, and I will say you're both on your phones in the photo.
You were on... Your laptop was open the whole time.
No, it wasn't.
I admitted that I was on my phone a lot.
Yeah, I'm saying I was on my phone a lot as well, but you were worse than me.
I reckon you were on your phone almost the whole movie, Chris.
No, I wasn't.
You were literally on your phone the whole movie.
No, I put it down multiple times.
No, you didn't, Chris.
I absolutely did.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Every time I looked at you on your phone, I'm
sorry.
Yeah, but you were also on your computer the whole time.
No, Eli wasn't actually. He was more attentive than you were.
This is a fucking conspiracy.
It's not a conspiracy because we haven't conspired to do anything. We're just both giving our objective reflections on how the moving watching experience was.
The other day, I looked at my screen time app on my phone and I'd used it an hour, 20 minutes the whole day. And I was like, fuck everyone that's ever told me I'm on my phone too much.
Is that because you were doing most of your messaging on Facebook?
No, I didn't use my laptop that day either.
I don't believe that.
It was a weekend.
Had you lost your phone?
No.
Did you lose it? Did you leave it somewhere?
How did you manage this?
I think it was on the charger in another room for a lot of the day.
Sure, okay. I love those days. Yeah. A star is born...
when Barbara Streisand, a nightclub singer, is discovered by the Norman Bates? James Norman.
I can honestly tell you I have no idea what his name is, and I don't care. I fucking hated this character.
He's a fucking
pig. And I was
ready
for him to die in the first scene.
It's kind of like a rock and roll country version of the original. I felt like in the first one, there were more benefits. Like, they kind of made more sense as stars, whereas this one... like the world seemed more believable, but then other, like, it had its pros and cons. It's too late to be kind of discussing.
No, I think this is the perfect time to get into.
Do you know what I mean? Like, in some regards, sure. I was like, oh, it's believable that he discovered this in the original film, the Judy version. You're like, it's believable that he discovered this, like, weird sort of show vaudeville performer.
Yeah.
Whereas it's sort of unbelievable that he discovered this, like,
nightclub
Motown
singer?
But
she wasn't
even
Motown.
She's not even a Motown singer.
It's like weird poetry. She was like
cabaret artist.
The whole movie is fucked from start to finish. And like, there are some unbelievable bits. The bit where he runs off stage and gets on a motorcycle and then brings that on stage and runs it into the audience, and there is zero consequences for that. Leaves her at the concert, doesn't fly her away. Literally, I'm actually furious at this film. I've just written down a few things I noticed in the movie. That's what
Please
I was doing
us.
On my phone. When he walks into the nightclub at the beginning of the film, he has a bucket of chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
And the staff at the bar are really compliant as well. They're like, please come sit down, but you can't bring this drink and food from another place.
Under no circumstances can you bring a family-sized bucket of chicken into a jazz club.
I felt like his...
Have you tried in real life? How many real life jazz clubs have you been in? And when have you ever bought
really good question, actually. Yes. One. I've been in one real life jazz club.
I'm guessing the city this happened in. I'm guessing it's the Big Apple.
New York! Concrete jungle. It was incredible.
Yeah.
I was there with like an old jazz musician. It was really cool. And
you were there with a jazz musician?
Well, he was an old jazz musician. He no longer plays.
Oh my gosh. He's dead now.
No, he's not dead, Chris. He's alive.
He's 80 years old.
I think he was more like 50, 60.
Weird. This is like the plot from that Simpsons episode. You're like Lisa Simpson.
Yeah, you are.
I wasn't. It's a long story. The band that she's in was called The Oreo.
Yeah.
This was...
because she is white. This seems like a problem. And the two other singers are African-American.
And they flank either side of her. Yeah. And she would be the... Hey, did you know that Oreos are vegan?
Yeah, that's creepy, eh? I'm like, what's in this?
I like them less because of... I've never actually been a fan of Oreos. I feel like they're one of the great mysteries of life. Like,
I agree.
Why would you pick an Oreo?
I think New Zealanders only eat them because they think it's like a cool,
American thing.
And it tastes not like our biscuits.
Just make a chocky chippy, mate.
Yeah, make a chocky chippy.
And just dunk it in some milk. Don't
have a scotch finger.
Have a scone.
Oh my God, absolutely
have
not.
Scotch fingers are yum.
Hey, they are great.
I know. Chris used to bag them and then he had one. And they're good.
No, I didn't used to bag them. I just had never had them before. And then my boyfriend, we were in the supermarket and I was like, pick some biscuits. And he got scotch fingers and I was like, are you mad? And then I had one and I was like, I'm mad.
Hey, that's lovely.
And you need to
it?
Check your privilege as well and get one.
Okay.
You know what's crazy about this?
You sound like a drunk person having like a toast at a wedding where it's like accidentally gotten political.
I love but, when people slightly get angry at speeches.
I sound like
you
the...
You need to I sound like, check your privilege.
Here's the whole thing with Jenny's family. They don't like me.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa.
Yeah. I've got some money problems, sure. But what I have a lot of... is love.
Or what I sound like, what I sound like is the male lead from A Star Is Born in the awards ceremony scene, which happens in every version of A Star Is Born.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not looking forward to that scene. I'm just over.
I don't think that happens. I think I read an article that Bradley Cooper said he wanted to write a version of this character where his demise was his demons, not his jealousy of the woman he was seeing.
Yeah. Nice. But the Grammy scene does happen because I know that Halsey presents the Grammy.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre because then they're in a world where Halsey exists but not Lady Gaga.
I once ran into Halsey in a bathroom.
Cool.
What do you reckon of Halsey?
I actually really liked her vibe. I thought she was very polite to me in the bathroom. We had a good little... I was like, I'm sorry. She's like, it's chill.
A great Halsey impression.
Really good Halsey impression. A Star Was Born. Just
and
then.
She can impersify?
She can impersify.
She's like, it's chill.
It's chill.
It's hard to get into her voice. I need to...
She would tell you to chill in a bathroom, eh, Halsey?
And she wasn't telling me to chill. She was being like, relax, man. It's cool,
sounds
bro.
Like she's telling you to chill.
Nah, she wasn't. She did say to me, like, relax. It's
she's
cool.
Like, she's like, hey, Alice, scary, relax, girl.
Yeah. She's like,
this isn't bad news, girl. This is just the bathroom. I'm Halsey. Check me out on Spotify.
Yeah. Check out Bad News at TVNZ on demand.
No, you're not allowed to plug that here. But it is good. So, you know what?
Sorry, Mom.
How would you describe Barbara's genre as an artist in this movie? Like, what kind?
Really, I'm happy you asked that question, actually, because the one thing I noticed was that when we first met Babs.
Yes.
Babs, actually, as I think her close friends call her.
Yes.
When we first met her, she was singing a ludicrous song that would not only not attract anyone, but I would say actively repel anyone.
It was like the worst thing you think of when you think of 70s music. It was like a looky kooky spooky song I'm doing in a bar. I'm spooky looky looking and I'm doing so far. It was awful.
Yeah, it was.
It was absolutely wild. But I will say this, and I forget this about her sometimes, but she was fucking hot.
Strikingly beautiful.
Striking. Absolutely striking. And I would describe her genre as...
It's hard, isn't
Please
it?
Don't interrupt.
You're a guest.
I'm actually... Give me a moment here.
You're a guest on this podcast.
Please, can I have some time? If I'm obviously going to speak, then give me the moment I need to collect my thoughts.
It's just like dead time.
I actually, you know what? Come on now. Time's up.
Fair.
Okay.
It makes me worry you're about to start singing.
No, I'm not going to sing. I could have thought of it by now if you guys hadn't interrupted me.
It's just that, like, dead air's like weird on a podcast.
It's absolutely fine. They can see that the seconds are ticking over. Give me a second.
Well, they can't see anything.
They could just get out their phone and check it. Now, please, for goodness sake.
No, we're trying to encourage
them
to be on their phones less.
Oh, I would describe her genre as...
Oh, my God.
Actually, Eli, I just need silence if it's going to come to me. Like... 70s.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Alice, no!
A Star Is Born.
A star died. A star just exploded. I was reading about why this version was made, and Barbara Streisand and her husband, John Peters, hairdresser turned film producer, envisioned this as a way to kind of rebrand her, because she was like a musical theater, like funny, kooky girl, and they were like, they wanted to rebrand her for
the
70s.
Picked the wrong song then to start with.
I know. Oh. So that, so I feel like she's meant to be like, is it Annie, was Annie Lennox around in the 70s? Is that?
No, she was more the 90s, early 2000s. Mm. The 70s was the Carpenters. I reckon she was kind it was kind of a Carpenter-esque vibe.
Folky.
Yeah, a little bit folky. A little bit Joan Baez-y. A little bit like, what's her name? I've looked
Joplin.
At love from Boston.
Joni Mitchell.
Eve Cassidy.
Yeah, kind of in that kind of vein of stuff.
My mum loves Eva Cassidy.
Does she?
So much. And there's that song... Somewhere of the Rainbow that she sings. But her version. And mum often would cry at dinner because it would just be playing in the background.
That's so
and then
beautiful.
She'd get swept up into the song because she died. Not my mum, Eva Cassidy did.
Have we already spoken about Karen Carpenter died?
I know.
Did
what?
We speak about that on the last podcast? Or
no,
just...
we didn't. I think you're probably thinking about it.
I think you're just thinking about it all the time. She died getting better. That's what kills me about that.
What? Yeah.
You know, she had anorexia, and she'd really tried her best to battle her demons. She went to a rehab facility, and she started to put on weight. She put it on too quickly, and the strain on her body gave her a heart attack, and she died.
Oh, my God.
Early 30s.
Oh, that's too young.
One of the best drummers of her time. One of the best singers. Yeah. Absolutely stunning.
We should make a biopic with you.
You as Karen Carpenter.
I'm ready. what's my favorite Karen Carpenter?
Don't
I know?
Just singing
different Carpenter songs.
I know I need to be in love.
Oh, you're fired from this role.
I know I've wasted so much. It's such a sad song. Oh my god.
Oh. It's crazy that like our. Like the 70s pop, like 70s rock stars were just so much more tragic than. I mean, I guess we don't really
care about
our rock
stars. Do you know who kept it together? Patti Smith.
I thought you were going to say Pink.
Also Pink.
I've got Patti Smith's autobiography on my Kindle, but I haven't touched it. And I've had it on there for 2 years. So what I'm saying is I'll read it someday.
Have you read the Anthony Kiedis one?
Everyone no. read that.
Yeah, that's why I was asking, because like everyone read that.
Have
and
you
then,
read that? I'm like, yeah. No.
No, I was like, I have zero interest in reading that book.
Under the Bridge of Dawn.
Who is Anthony Kiedis?
Lead singer of Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, yuck.
When's their biopic coming out? That's what I want to know.
I think one of them has to die.
I reckon they're the straightest band I know.
I saw them at Big Day Out in Sydney, and they...
What about Oasis?
...did such long solos. Like, like every song was 10 minutes long because they just do a fucking guitar solo. Guitar solos, I reckon 90% of the time, it's like fucking... Feels like... Sounds like homophobia to me.
Can I say that? It sounds like homophobia to you?
Yeah, it sounds like aggressive, macho bullshit.
Do you know what my least favorite part in a concert is?
What?
When they go through the band and every band member gets like a minute to shine. I always want to yell like, I'm not here for you.
Oi, how fucked up was that in Cher during one of the transitions when the guitar player just like took over in the rock section with big long gray
hair?
That
was crazy.
I wanted to know what his dynamic was, because obviously he's like an experienced rock guitarist, but now he is playing for Cher. So I'm like, how does he feel?
You
Who
need
are
to
his
change
friends?
That inflection. And now he's playing for Cher.
Well, I'd be excited.
And now he's playing for Cher.
Yeah, that's more that. Not now he's playing for Cher.
How do you do that? That's what I want to know. How do you do that?
How did you do that, bro?
Yeah. Can I take back what I said about the musicians?
No. It's set in stone now.
Okay.
I was thinking about it when Pink did it at her concert, and then she gave a wee moment to shine for all her dancers. And I thought some of them, it was like a song was playing, and then their name would pop up on the screen, and they'd like... do a little like wiggly worm moment just to be like, I can dance. And then I thought some of them, to be honest, like phoned in their little...
I agree.
And I was like, you've got 5 seconds, mate. Milk it.
Yeah.
Like someone could be watching right now.
Yeah.
A star could be born.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper could be in the audience.
Exactly. Yes. And think, there's a movie in that.
Even if there's I saw this video today. Even if there's 99 people in a room. It only takes one person to see you.
Gaga.
Have you watched the super cut of that?
Yes.
Yes.
It's Incredible.
So painful. It's so haunting. It's this video of Lady Gaga saying this one quote she has about Bradley Cooper, which is to the effect of, if there were
100 people,
if there are, there could be, I'll do the accent.
Yeah, great.
Please.
I think it calls for it.
Yeah.
Action. There could be 100 people in the room, and all it takes is one to believe in you.
99 don't believe in you, but...
Oh, sorry. There could be 100 people in the room, and 99 of those people won't believe in you. But all it takes is one. And he was that one for me.
The best bit is the last one, which is like, there could be 100 people in a room, or 1,000 people in a room, and maybe 9,000 don't... Or 999 don't believe it.
And the best part about that is that she'd already done the anecdote at yes, that same thing. And then gone, I've probably said this before. And then fucked up the anecdote the second time. Not anecdote, the whatever it is.
I don't believe it's... If I was in a room with 100 people and they were like, Chris is cancelled. He's useless. And one person, like you or Alice, were like, No, I think he's got the goods. I'd be like, I think we've lost this room.
Yeah.
The majority here, we've got to leave. Let's get an Uber and get out of here.
No, but if me
we've
or
embarrassed ourselves.
If me or Alice was rich and after the show, we were like, you don't take an Uber home, get in my car. It's a Rolls Royce. And I've got a Rolex
like,
on.
How did you get this
I'm
car?
I'm not getting a Rolls. Are you out of your fucking mind?
You're getting
when
Rolls
am
Royce?
I ever going to get a Rolls Royce?
When you get really
I
rich.
I could have $1 billion and I'm not getting a Rolls Royce.
I'd love to see you drive one.
Are you fucking crazy?
Have you guys seen Alice's Rolls Royce?
This is such a bold move. She doesn't even have a house yet. She's bought this huge car. And she has to park it like
outside her
work.
Tent.
You get inside this lavish car and her like gym gears in
what
the back.
What kind of car do you have right now?
I've got a 1989 Toyota Starlet 2-door.
And from there, you jump up to a...
It cost me $600 cash.
Who needs a Rolls... I feel like the only thing you need a Rolls Royce for is putting coffins in the back, mate.
Yeah, we were having this discussion today. What is, do you reckon, regardless of how much money you earn... What is the maximum figure you could imagine yourself spending on a car?
I'm going to up mine from earlier today.
Yeah, I think
earlier
that's
today
important.
I said 15K, but I reckon I could go up to 20.
Yeah.
Not till my 50s.
I reckon I could spend 25.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know. Honestly, like 12 at the moment.
Not at the moment. I'm talking you can earn any kind of money.
Oh.
So I'll be a billionaire and I'll never spend more than
$25,000.
Yeah,
no, you're great. Yeah. I'd say, 20.
Yeah.
20 to 25.
It's crazy to me people who spend money on cars.
Millions.
Can you imagine
dollars.
Spending $100,000 on a car?
Just from getting to A
to B.
I know. I was thinking,
and occasionally to C. And then maybe to D.
You're D. And then you're like, did anyone see me at D?
Yeah. And then you're like, okay, I'll just go straight back to A. I won't even go through C and B again.
No. And I'm going to, I'll text F and be like, sorry, I couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Got held up at E.
And then I'll just drive out to Zed, which is the little place under the bridge where you can just look out at the water. And there's nobody else there.
Yes.
And then I'll probably beautiful. Just stay
and
there.
And I'm going to go like this. When I do, I'm going to go, I'll go to K.
Are you doing a visual joke right now?
No. Okay. I was just working the alphabet out of my head. I'll do K. And then I'm just going to go, L-M-N-O-P. Like, I'm going to hit them real
yeah,
fast.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah. You drive L-M-N-O-P. Right through them.
Like, I'm
yeah.
not even going to think of them as individual stops.
Because you're not getting out of the car.
No, it's just L-M-N-O-P.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought when that band called themselves L-M-N-O-P, that I was like, that's genius.
I thought it was so cool as well.
I was like, how clever.
Because it's
the
funnest.
I don't remember having a specific thought about it, if I'm honest.
That's fine.
I always thought that was the funnest part of the alphabet. Because it just trips off the tongue.
It absolutely is.
It sounds like Barbara Streisand's song from the first part of this movie.
Can we talk about how fucked up it is when, spoiler alert, Barbara Streisand comes home, finds her hubby in bed with somebody else who's there under the guise of wanting to do an interview
with Barbara.
With Esther.
Yeah.
And then...
Strange actress.
Then she gets out her microphone and tries to do the interview.
I loved that she did that.
I didn't. I was like, this bitch is on crack or
it
something.
It was a wild move.
Such a choice. Like, how was her tape recorder within reach
but
at that
point? The crazy thing was she was in the pool. Like, he got home and was like, hey.
It was insane.
And they live honestly,
in the middle of nowhere.
In this kind of...
No, that was a different house. That was the original house. Oh, that was the house he tried to shoot down the helicopter from. Do we all remember that?
About this.
Yeah.
This man was self-destructive. He was selfish. He pulled people into his web. He surrounded himself with hollow forces who did nothing but feed him with drugs and live off his money and not support his creative juices. He treated the woman in his life like shit.
Yeah. And there's one moment in the film where I was like, oh, I get it. When she is playing her beautiful piano song and then he comes in and improvises with her. And then I was like, okay, it's a talent crush. Like, she loves his musical ability. And that is
That was my driest moment of the movie.
Oh, I loved that bit.
That was when I felt the
most
dry.
It's hard to know that, like...
You're crazy.
The hottest bit was when they were going to fuck in the dirt after they got married.
That was hot. And she was wearing no bra under her, like, white
blouse. They were, like, ironing out their house, like, where they were going to play in their house. And I was like...
There's something about real estate and
sex. That's
what
I thought. I was like, all the promise of DIY. And also just fucking out in the wilderness. I love the idea of, like, just... being in the expensive outdoors.
I would love to have sex on a building site.
Oh,
Jesus.
Like on the block.
No way.
At night. Like when it's abandoned. And
what
you've like
part
gone
of the building
you've
site?
Like, excuse me, please hear me out.
We'll hear
you've,
it out. You've... Don't kink shame.
Yeah,
I'm supposed to have sex on the block.
So, like, the frame is up, but there's no electricity.
Nails.
Yeah.
No nail. Oh, yeah, maybe there's some
health
nails
and safety
around.
Is a nightmare. I just want to put
that. Are you in like a wheelbarrow or something?
No, no.
No, you just like lay down a rug or something and chuck up some candles or a torch or... And you're just like...
You know those torches that you pull out and then
they
become a lantern?
That's beautiful. And you're just having sex in this promise of something.
Have you got a hard hat on?
No, I'm naked.
She's wrapped in a tarp.
I've gone to the site at like midnight. There are no workers there.
But don't you think for safety you should have a hard hat on?
No.
Okay.
I love that you love DIY and Renault so much that you want to have like a turn on for you is having sex in a house that is yet to be built.
I think there's something exciting about because you know when you go into a house and it's just the front. Like I remember when our family was building like the first house my family was going to own, and we'd go visit it.
Oh.
No,
you
I was
fully erect.
12 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 12 year olds can get bonus.
And you
mate.
Excuse yourself to masturbate.
You can get bonus from birth. Like, babies get bonus.
Yeah, they
do. Imagine that.
No, babies get bonus all the time.
All the time. But I just think, like, visiting the frame of the house and then imagining what the house was going to look like was quite exciting.
Yeah.
Not sexual, though.
And that's when you got hard. Oh, no.
No, I got hard from just, like, I don't know, the car going a bit faster.
That makes the feeling of cars going really, really fast or like being in a roller coaster makes it. And I often feel like my penis is like going in. And,
yeah.
And it feels like my. And I feel like I'm going to shit myself. I feel my asshole widen.
Do you?
Sometimes when I'm out of breath.
Widen.
So I've lost the feeling around the outside of it. And I feel like all my innards are just going to go flooding out of me.
Your asshole doesn't widen when you're aroused, though, right?
No, but.
Mine goes. Rawr.
Does. It makes that noise. That's extraordinary.
It's incredible.
Because like a vagina, it like gets bigger when it's aroused.
It gets wider.
Does it?
Yeah, it does. Like you can physically feel yourself
widen.
Open up.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Like your cervix like lifts. Like everything inside of you lifts in order to make room for a dick.
It doesn't happen with the butt.
You have to kind of like mentally tell yourself.
Often when they give you advice for anal sex, they're like, imagine taking a shit and sitting on a dick at the same time. Like, it's often, they're like, push out.
Push out a little bit. But also
oh,
you
push
can,
out because that blooms it. Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, that's lovely.
Also, you can squeeze, you hold it for 30 seconds, squeeze it, and then when you unsqueeze, it's more relaxed.
Are you trying
like
it?
Like a kegel.
Like a kegel, yeah.
I'm always doing things with my ass. How do you know if your asshole is tight or loose?
Because people tell you.
What if you're not getting other people to, like... Can you tell by yourself?
I think you can tell, yeah.
I always wondered if I have, like... like, is a tight asshole one that really just, like, clips off a shit?
Oh, I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? Well, like, it's like... And if it doesn't, like, clip off a shit, does that mean you've got, like, a loose asshole?
What, I feel like clip makes it feel sharp.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, true, true, true. I'm imagining it as, like, a ticket taker where it is... You know, where you like when you go to a deli or something and you have to take a ticket out and they call your number.
Or
it's in New York.
Or like,
yeah, no, I have not.
Or like a video arcade.
Yeah, that's probably more relatable.
Yeah.
you know, it's sort of like a, it's more about the muscles, how good they are when we're clipping off shits, you know?
Yeah,
like,
okay.
Versus we're all are.
Shit's
here's an interesting fact about A Star Is Born. Barbara Streisand wardrobe.
This is a good fact.
For the film. So everything that she wears in the movie is from her own wardrobe. And in fact, it goes to the levels where in the credits is like Barbara Streisand styled by ... her own wardrobe, which I felt like was maybe them throwing a bit of a dig at her, being like,
definitely not. Yes. There's no way they could have got away with that.
No way.
It said clothes provided by or something like that. Mm. And then there was a wardrobe department as well. Oh, but for the other people, of course.
I will say 80% of her outfits I was really into.
I thought there was some hits and misses.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree. I liked her opening outfit, the red velvet pants and the shirt and the little suspenders. Cool. She looked very hot in that.
Kind of fun and funky. And then I was like, I have a sense of this girl. And then
the full crochet outfit was pretty crazy.
That was crazy. But
festival.
You know what I loved? Sunny day, full woolen coat.
Yes.
Yeah, no bra.
No bra and a beanie.
Yeah.
A matching beanie.
Wild move at her wedding, not to have a flower wreath, but just to put flowers in her hair.
Yeah, that was weird.
Small white flowers that do look like big chunks of dandruff.
Baby's breath.
It was like the Instagram like trend of men with beards, like decorating their beards. Yeah. That's what it was the equivalent of.
I hate that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why do you hate it?
Just because it takes everything that I find hot about a beard away, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think a beard is a little bit messy and scruffy and I don't know.
I don't know if I like beards.
I do, in theory, but I don't like their textural. I don't like the feel of them.
Like that scene in the movie where he's like going to cut his beard off with scissors in hand, which was wild.
I don't remember that, but...
It was just before your favourite sexiest bit.
Yes.
Or just after, maybe.
I think maybe I went to the bar.
They had so much sex in this film.
Yeah, it was cool.
And I thought for a moment he was going to take his beard off, and I was actually kind of excited.
Really?
He's got an odd face, Chris Christopher.
He's got a very big chin.
And he looks withered. Like, he just looks like a man who's suntanned too much.
He was playing an alcoholic in the film. Yeah, I mean, very true. We can't
Jim Morrison.
Judge him on
I
that.
Thought he was until his character was revealed. So I'm talking the opening 3 minutes
Same.
Of the film when he was just singing. Hot as hell.
Yep, I agree. The first time I saw him, I was like, great.
Tight.
Yeah.
He never buttoned a shirt, which I enjoyed.
I loved
unless it was double-breasted.
Yes. Ooh,
he had two shirts that were the same type of shirt in different colors. And it reminded me of when people like go on Instagram and like bad clothing gets suggested. And then they're like, I could pull off this military jacket. And then they buy like three of them, and then you're like, what is that?
Awful.
I used to have a friend who bought from a stop that used to be on Ponsonby Road. I can't remember what it's called. It used to be called like Equip or something. And he bought a double-breasted zip-up hoodie.
Ooh.
And that clearly was the same thought.
I had one of those. They had them at Glassons for a long time.
What's the coolest thing you thought you bought? And then you looked back
on it. It was my confirmation outfit. When I was getting confirmed to the Catholic Church.
And you're like double-breasted hoodie.
What I bought was silver cargo pants. Off the shoulder, 3/4 length maroon top. And a silver puffer waistcoat.
Oh my God.
And I was getting confirmed at a church where every girl was in like... a floral confirmation dress. And every guy was in a
You're like,
suit.
Honey to the bee, that's you for me. what's the coolest thing you've ever bought that you look back on and gone, what a disaster?
I bought this shirt and it was like stretchy fabric. You know,
well, I know that shirt of yours.
Which one?
Nah, I was just
doing
a gag.
That's mean.
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy.
No,
I was just doing a gag.
You have hurt my feelings multiple times. It was made of stretchy fabric. There's a similar fabric at the moment, I reckon, on something that's being Facebook advertised to me every day, which is like stretchy swimming shorts. And the line they're using is like, they're so stretchy and it's men doing like high kicks in these awful swimming shorts.
Anyway. Why? I don't want... What's the appeal of swimming shorts?
Stretchy swimming shorts. I'm not doing karate in them.
I don't know. Just wear a Speedo or nothing.
Amen.
Sick, man. I got a white shirt with vertical dark stripes and then a super ribbed black jersey. And I used to think I was so tidy and mature when I wore like a button down shirt underneath a very ugly jersey.
I remember my dad used to wear vests, like cotton vests, like to work. Just like a pullover. And he had also had a button up one. And I remember being like, hey, if you see one around, can you buy me one?
Oh,
and it was a bad
look. I love
look.
That.
And I also, it was like a black vest. I wore it to my sister's 21st. What was I thinking? And the other one was like, I remember we went for a family trip to Brisbane and we went to Maya and I bought like a look off the mannequin.
Oh,
I was like, yes, that is my look. Okay. And I was like, it was like a t-shirt that had like kind of like a religious sort of print on the front
of
it.
Yeah, of course.
And then it had like a stitched T-shirt underneath,
oh,
you know, just
Jesus,
like the top.
Yes, I remember. Yeah,
and then like
that's my favorite scene in A Simple Favor. Do you know that scene where she comes in from the first time they're over, and she pulls out the top of her shirt and she pulls off her cuffs. Yeah.
Oh my god, I loved that. I loved like.
And then I had
movie.
On top of that T-shirt like this kind of deep green shiny shirt that was like almost like not silk but like a bad cheap version of silk, like lining material basically.
Ooh, wow.
And then the look on the mannequin was like you rolled up the sleeves to reveal the t-shirt underneath it on the sleeves. And I tried to like every day just like recreate the look from the mannequin, and I look back on it and I'll be like, what was I thinking?
I wore so many t-shirts over button-down shirts when I was in sixth and seventh form.
That's shocking. I wore a lot of cotton like Ralph Lauren polos but with the collar popped
up, baby.
Very cool.
I think you should bring that back.
Yeah, maybe I should. Hey, here's a question for you. You know that feeling when you think you're gonna have diarrhea,
yes,
but there's like not a toilet around, and so you go, well, I've just got to hold this in.
It's just like now.
No.
Are you experiencing that right now? Are you telling us we need to wrap this up because you got a
no,
shit?
No. This is just coming out of nowhere. It's completely
how's your asshole strength?
Really good. Can I finish my question, please?
Go. Yes.
So you think you're going to have diarrhea. There's no toilet around. So you go, well, I guess I've just got to suck this up.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So you just focus really hard on the fact that, like, I will not shit.
Yes.
And then eventually the feeling passes.
Yes.
What happens to all the shit that was just ready to come out?
It just sits there.
It just sits there, yeah.
That's truly revolting, isn't it?
It's just sitting in your body cooking, basically.
Because I had a stroke
of
IBS when I was at high school, and I think it was because I was eating Toffee Pops before 10 a.m. But
Toffee Pops before 10 a.m.?
Like, I'd always, like, kind of go to school, like...
That sounds like a podcast.
Eat a couple of Chalky Bickies.
And it's like the hosts of it are always like, well, we're a bit naughty.
Welcome, it's Louise and Sally, and we're here with Toffee Pops before 10.
And I'd be sitting in maths class, and I was like, fuck, I'm going to shit myself. And then I would like be like, don't shit yourself. And then I'd like hold my asshole tight, real, real tight. And then it would subside for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I'd sometimes be like, nope. And then I'd like do the jit to the toilet bowl. And I think I only shit myself
this,
once.
For a full, like, year and a half recently, I used to get diarrhea in the morning so bad. And then I was just like, oh, stop eating so much yogurt first thing.
Gross.
And did that work?
Yeah, instantly.
Gross.
Really?
I used to have yogurt and sultana bran every morning.
Oof. I've just started having collagen every day.
Collagen?
Yeah, it's supposed to be really good for your gut and also your teeth and your hair and your skin and stuff.
How does that come?
In a powder form. So I put it with a little bit of water and
mix
it.
What is collagen?
I don't know, man. I don't understand.
So
this
is the same stuff that goes in your lips you're drinking?
Yeah.
Cool.
That's awesome, eh?
I like that.
Get ready for...
Big lip
I'd love
Alice.
It if you
lip
just like...
Alice.
Big lip like... Loose lip Alice.
I think I have decently sized lips until I smile when my upper lip just completely disappears.
I roll in.
Yeah.
Oh, cute.
Nah, it's kind of lame.
I think that's endearing.
Do you reckon?
Because I think exposing your top teeth is very, like, vulnerable and warm, in a warm, delightful
way. Yeah, I used to have a very specific smile where I would wet my top lip so that it stayed fat. And then I would smile so that my bottom lip covered the bottom of my top teeth because I was self-conscious about them being chipped. So I'd smile like this.
Oh, that's cute.
That's really good. What's...
Oh, maybe I should bring it back.
I don't think I've ever... I don't think I think about my smile anymore, but I used to, I'm sure, like, really try and keep it, like,
I never
centered in my face. I try to get my eye. I think I used to be worried about how squinty my eyes were when I smiled. So I tried to kind of widen my eyes. Maybe for this podcast, we should upload a photo of our mouse.
Alice
smiles.
Is taking one right now. I used to never worry. And then in my adult life, I've realized I've got a pretty bad snaggle tooth that is often biting my bottom lip and my smile.
Alice
is funny. She looks like a 14-year-old Eminem fan.
I'm going to take a selfie too.
Gosh.
And then
no,
I reckon this is
round.
Probably the best part of the podcast. We're experiencing the
this
peak.
Is a selfie break.
But then when they can go
I'll
online
talk about the movie
and see the selfies.
So the thing that I also really enjoyed about this film, I should say this. Under no circumstances would I say I was a fan of this movie. Yeah.
Really?
It was bad.
No.
I quite enjoyed Babs's last performance in the movie.
I thought that was too self-indulgent and that she had not earned it.
And also I was like, this is her trying to fit into the 70s genre. I reckon people are going to look at the selfie that I just took and they're going to be like, oh, which one's the snaggle tooth? Because about three of them could qualify. Like reaching over my lip.
No, just that guy, right?
Yeah, that's the one. Wow.
My top lip still disappears.
Speaking of like kind of being insecure about one's own body, Barbara.
Yes, I have struggled.
Barbara, when she has like a, she's one of those actresses that has a profile that she prefers, and when she gets interviewed, she wants to be shot by one side, like one angle, which happens to be the angle where like usually the interviewer would sit.
Oh.
So I saw her on Ellen. And Alan was like, oh, I hear that you don't like, because Alan's just kind of obvious about this stuff. I was like, I hear you don't like to be shot from this angle, so let's swap seats. And Barbara was like, ugh, kind of laughed it off. But a week earlier, she was on Fallon doing a similar interview. And Fallon was like, oh my God, I can't believe I've got Barbara Streisand. And she, you can sit at my desk if you want. And tried to cover it as like a gimmick. And
I'm going
to
go home and watch
it. It's so satisfying.
That's funny.
Fuck, yeah. I love that.
Do you reckon you have a side?
Yes,
but I don't know which one is my side. I would love to know, though.
Oh, I wonder if we could... We should all pay for, like, someone to...
A photographer told me I have a good side.
Who was that lady who stands behind the couch?
Paula Ryan.
We should do, like, a session with her.
Yeah, that'd be so good. It's Sarah's born in the scene where he dies. Spoiler alert, he has a car crash. Barbara goes to his side. She's crying.
So angry about
it's
the
very
way he
moving.
Killed himself.
I thought it was dangerous because there could have been someone else on the road.
Yeah, exactly. He was drunk, he was driving,
his stupid
car.
But it was so consistent with his behavior of being a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
And a mess, like, you walk into the ocean, like, PH rescue, they're going to have to scoop your body up. Or you might never be seen again. If you drive your car, expensive car, like, you could give the car over to someone who needs a car.
Yeah.
You can get that money, like, there's so many, like...
I'll take it if it's under 25.
Exactly.
That said,
he left it as a pile of mess, and I think his body would have been more
mangled.
I do think he had a proper emotional attachment to his car, in the same way that you might like want to be buried with specific items that you truly loved. I do think he loved his car.
Really?
But I'm not going to like burn my house to the ground and be like, give the ashes to me.
Is there anything you want to be buried with?
It's really interesting that you asked that, because I used to have a very specific list of things that I wanted to be buried with.
Okay.
And I would update it, and I haven't updated it recently.
Ooh.
When I was a teenager, it was a pair of soccer boots.
That will still happen. I'll be like, no. She wanted them, and they're like, I think that was an old wish.
I know. Okay, so, and then it was a Kate Sylvester dress.
Oh.
And
like, you wearing it.
Yeah, oh, like, yes. Yeah, so
were you
Kate
Sylvester dress and the football boots?
No. Don't be ridiculous.
Would it be a comedy? Would it be a microphone now?
Yeah, now it would be a microphone and a stand.
Beautiful. And one of your scripts.
And what a Jono and Ben links.
I reckon it would just be like you on like your laptop. Like
that? Yeah.
You at a standing desk?
Yeah. God, all of the visions of me are so depressing. Rose messaged me tonight after I posted a selfie that was intended to be funny. And not funny, just like, I was said a star is born and I looked depressed in the photo.
Yes.
And she goes, she messaged me going, whenever you post a photo, I get worried for you.
Rose.
That's...
Full on, man.
It's full on.
I mean, to be fair, I am in a sour mood.
I think she made you feel bad and then you took it out on me at the start of this podcast.
No, that's not true. That was all of my own volition.
I love that. What do you want to be? Or what do you want? Do you know who you actually want to be buried with now?
I can say this honestly. I don't care. Which I know sounds awful, but like, no? The only thing I wish for is that in my coffin, that whenever it happens, that there's, they don't all of a sudden else, like, dress me in like a suit. Or like a glamorous dress
now she
or
wears
something.
A
suit with a bow tie.
Yeah, like, you know, like, I hope they don't do something weird fashion.
As a corpse, I now wear the pants.
Yeah, because I love my sister and my mum, for example. Right. I'm imagining that they're alive when I die for some reason.
It's like, say it's next week, just by an accident.
Yeah, just by accident next week, and I just, like, trip in front of a car. And...
I mean, we'll have to put the body back together.
Yeah. I feel like they'll pick something awful for me.
Well, maybe. I think we'll put you in a white linen shirt and some denim jeans.
I think that's probably
it. And some scuffs as a humorous touch.
Yeah, I don't know what you'll do with my hair.
Yeah, you do need scuffs.
Relaxed. I'll sort it out.
Scuffs? What are scuffs?
Yes. A top pony.
Yeah, little shoes that you have.
You're wearing them right now.
Oh,
scuffs.
Slides. What's wrong with you?
Disgusting slides. What would you wear? Well, do you mean us people gays?
Yeah. Was that not clear?
Eli?
This conversation has really provoked a process in my mind where I'm like, oh shit, I don't own a single item of clothing that I think is nice enough to be buried in. There's nothing I love enough.
No, it's like, am I really going in my denim jacket? But I guess I am.
Yeah, you'd be denim jacket, white shirt, black shorts.
And I'm like, God, someone got to wash that before I get put on
and
me.
And then put it on me.
Yeah.
Do you put cologne on a... you sort of spray... That's all the awkward thing.
I think they make them smell because they drain them blood and all that stuff.
Because we sprayed my grandma in her perfume.
That's nice. You can put Cure Noir.
But it's awkward because it's a...
A dab?
It's an oil. You have to rub it on the skin, which is... Oh. I just pour it on me.
Yeah.
Open my mouth. Ooh. And fill me full of perfume. Anything? Yeah.
I've got a shirt that I quite like right now, which I bought on a holiday. It's purple.
Oh.
And it's got kind of weird shapes in it. And it does look like
I'm literally taking a mental note because I want to be that friend.
Yeah.
Who's like, actually, I remember from the podcast, he wanted this.
There's a good photo of me and it in my Instagram drinking an Aperol Spritz in Venice.
I'll look out for that. That'll be the reference.
And that's what you want to wear?
Yeah, and sunglasses and...
You want to wear sunglasses in your coffin?
Yes, I look like I'm on holiday.
Oh.
Arms up like that?
Arms up my head.
Maybe I want to be buried with some photos of my family and friends and stuff.
What to look over?
I don't know. Aren't you just supposed to take shit with you to the afterlife or something?
I want
Give me
iPod.
An F-post card.
Not,
for
don't
sure.
take fucking photos. Take a phone.
Yeah, put a Visa debit in there.
Like, who's got print out photos now?
Well, put my phone in, I guess.
Yeah, that's all. I'll take my phone.
Can you bury me with the cloud?
Can we put
the cloud
you...
goes with you, mate. Yeah.
Do you want us to bury you with the keys to your Rolls Royce? Or do you want us to leave that?
That goes to me.
Nah, Chris can inherit the Rolls Royce.
It's purple. I don't know what I'm going to wear. Maybe a turtleneck.
I imagine you're in a onesie.
What? What?
Wow. It's good to know.
Do not, Alice. Did you hear that?
Not
that
a onesie.
You're going to be buried in a onesie, yeah.
You make sure that doesn't happen.
I'm going to bury you in that little chick.
That chick thing, yeah.
That
chick. That's
oh,
a onesie,
that's a
two-piece.
It's a
two-piece.
Eli doesn't know about this.
Difference.
I knew what scuffs meant.
True, actually. True.
The main thing is that Chris knows everything, and the two of us know some things.
That's definitely not true.
Should we go through into our highlight and low light of A Star Is Born? Or, Chris, do you want to talk about what you want to be buried with?
No, I think it's fine.
Because I imagine you want to be buried with, like...
It's the chick two-piece and...
The chick two-piece and...
Michael,
I'm
alive or dead.
Michael, alive or dead.
Yeah.
And...
Alive screaming.
Alive screaming, preferably.
Preferably.
And maybe, like, a Louis Vuitton...
A Louis Vuitton luggage
wallet.
Set.
We'll buy one for the event. Some Louis Vuitton.
One of those ones with all the the multicolored ones.
Yeah. You mean Comme des Garçons?
No, I mean Louis Vuitton.
Oh no.
Well, it's happening.
Oh well, I mean, thank you. I wish I got that gift alive.
I'll probably die first, actually. So.
We don't know.
I really want to die in my old age. Well, this will be haunting if I die young. But I really want to die.
This will play at the funeral.
I know. I really want to die in my old age because as much as I complain about my life, I'd love to live it for as long as possible. And it's been haunting me lately, the possibility that it might be over soon.
You can't say that.
You know what?
Not because I want it to be. I just feel like something's going to happen.
No, we've got to get out and do something then, you know?
Once a week, I have a feeling where I'm like, oh, you haven't been thinking about dying much recently, that means it's probably about to happen.
Sneak up on you.
Because it always happens when you're a little bit...
Like love, when you're not looking for it, it finds you.
Yeah, exactly.
Death is just behind love.
Yeah, what were your highlights of the film A Star Is Born, 1976 version, starring Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson?
All right. Okay. Should I go first?
Highlight.
Oh, can I do my low light?
Absolutely. Okay. Low light. Sorry.
My low light was, it's a tie between him shooting at the helicopter and him driving the motorcycle on stage. Both of those things, I were like, this is abhorrent behavior.
Yeah.
And why is she attracted to you?
Yes.
And then my highlight was Barbara almost, but not quite, revealing her breasts.
Oh, we didn't talk about that.
I was going to say the same highlight. But
do you want to say what happened, Eli?
What happened was, as I could swear, I would swear on anything after the movie finished, that we saw her full breast for a split second in the first section of this film.
Because it starts on one angle. As she takes her top off, the camera jumps and almost crosses the line to a very peculiar...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Clear angle, which is like the other, it's like his back suddenly.
No, because it's on his back, so it's like...
It's one shot. She pulls the top over her head.
And then it switches to
and
her
back. Then it cuts to a two shot of the... Then it cuts to both of them side on,
I think. It's weird though.
So it's his back, so he's lying down... She's sitting on top of
her.
She takes off her top, and then the camera stays behind him as he sits up, covering her breasts just as she takes off her top. And then it cuts to the side.
Yeah.
And we get
and
a
she
peripheral.
Kind of puts her head over her arms over her head for a second there as well. You get a flash of what... And I thought in both those instances, you saw her nipples, and then we watched the scenes...
About five or six times.
Close to confirm it.
Eight, yeah.
And I was still defiant for the very end that you saw them for a bit.
Like, you can see it. And we were like, no, you can't. And we just watched it.
And then we went frame by frame.
You were like a young boy being like, Santa is real. And everyone being like, no. It's like there was 100 people in the room and 99 of them didn't believe. But you believed in yourself.
Yeah.
And that still wasn't enough.
And it was wrong. Anyway, you see a lot of her. You know, like more than I expected to ever see of Barbara Streisand in a movie.
No, I reckon you see back.
You see back. You see side boob later on. And
it's not even side boob. It's side stomach. I don't know why you're so horny for these titties, man.
Because he wanted to know that she was changing her brand.
Yeah, I liked that she was trying to change her brand.
Edge it up.
All right, let's do your low light and highlight.
My low light was in the first instance where, like, just before they kind of get together proper, she's trying to walk away from him, and he kind of grabs her arm and pulls her back.
Ooh.
No.
Time's up, man.
God,
time's
these films.
Up, Kris Kristofferson.
Absolutely, time's up. And my highlight was the fact that they have a bath together on their first... like sexual encounter, they then share a bath, which I was like, that's crazy. You don't share a bath until at least 9 months.
Well, it's quite a wide bath, which made me thought, like, maybe that's a move of his.
Yeah.
He'd be like, hey, you're not going to find a better bath than this because there can be two people side by side. Oh my God.
What I found weird about it was that they were in the bath facing each other, because normally you see a bath scene where she's got her
like
back
spooning
to it. They're kind of like spooning in the bath.
No, I feel like it's always facing towards, feet in the middle.
Which of them do you think lit the like 30 candles that were around?
He did, because he put them in beer cans and
that was
gross.
Fucking
that is
stupid.
Gross.
Everything about him I hate.
And your heart...
That was my highlight, which really goes to show that it wasn't good.
My highlight would be all of her singing. You can't fault Barbara's voice. It's incredible. Mm. And I think
she does hit one note that I was like, every time she did
you'd
it,
always
I was
go,
like,
oh, that note, baby. Yeah. It was
gross. And that scene that they recorded live as well, when they're recording both.
Was that, do we know that was live?
Yeah. Because she felt, Barbara Babs thought, like, she wanted it to be a close-up, and she doesn't really like syncing to her own voice anyway. She doesn't really like the sound of her own voice. She doesn't even consider herself a singer. She considers herself a filmmaker, which I was like, Babs, you're a singer.
Okay, well, she's directed Oscar-winning films.
She has.
She's the only female winner of the Golden Globe for Best Director.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oscar or Golden Globe?
Golden Globe.
And she's a close-up of her singing, and she thought that if it was so close, she was trying to sync in with that. Tim, our producer, sneezing in the back, giving Alice a fright that the sync wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
And so she wanted to sing live, even though Kris Kristofferson didn't want to do it.
Yeah, because he sounded like shit.
She wanted Elvis Presley in the movie originally.
That would have been cool, eh?
Been great.
I didn't think Kris Kristofferson was a very good singer.
No.
Sort of grouchy, grouchy.
Funny, because he's a singer in real life.
Yeah.
So highlight Babs is singing low light, similar to yours, Alice, on the motorbike. Biking around those horses and his he was like having temper tantrum, and he was like, I'm gonna get on my bike and bike really fast around the house, and he biked around their four horses that were in a stable,
such a fucking
and scared cunt. The bloody horses, and I was like, there's no need for that, mate.
It was awful.
Just chill out.
My true highlight was actually when the journalist girl who he cheated with then immediately still tried to conduct the interview.
That was a power.
I loved that.
But how she fucked was it then Babs then got with him?
I know.
I had sex with him.
That was awful.
Dick still stanky from her pussy.
That's exactly
although,
right.
Couldn't he not get it up? Didn't she imply the girl?
But he was still...
But he was still being all over it. She did imply that.
But he may have flopped it about.
He would have definitely eaten her out.
Do you reckon?
I reckon she probably gave him head.
Yeah, I reckon as well.
In an effort to get him hard as well, probably. And then it didn't happen. I don't want to get into the specifics of it, but can I just say that I want to change my highlight?
Yes.
To the first shot of the interior of the home they built. Yes. I was on board with that home.
Oh, they've done a wonderful job.
Yes, I thought they'd done a lovely job.
The two of them built it themselves and have had no
which, that was the worst the most ridiculous part of the plot.
I loved the building montage.
They built a house together.
Someone that was when she showed off like 7 different amazing outfits as well.
She built a house in like a hat and like a skirt and a belt and a bag and like heels. Like never was she just like in a hard hat. She's kind of on his lap driving around a forklift sort of smiling with her feet out the window.
Yeah, it's crazy to think they built their house.
Like, you are in the desert. It looks so hot out there. There's mud
everywhere.
She was in a lot of quite like unbuttoned shirts, tucked into the pants, but with like...
Yeah.
I loved that look, actually. Yeah.
I thought... one thing I really love about Barbara is her horny nails. She's always got that long sort of talons that she sort of rubs. And their first kiss is very, very weird.
Oh, their first kiss is so
strange. He holds
his
mouth open when he pulls back.
It's kind of... Mm. It's like... I feel like the director was like, it's all about... the desire to kiss. And so they never really kind of lock in. It's always like kind of lips.
It's like they're grazing each other.
Sometimes they do sucking each other's breath in.
Man, kisses feel weird. Like it's just lips touching lips, but it's just because they're such soft parts of the body, aren't they?
Yeah.
I guess they're the softest part.
No, I think the softest part of your body would be...
Mine would probably be that
probably
part of
my like
arm.
My labia or something, I would say.
Oh, is that
say.
Really, really soft?
It's tough, but it's soft.
Tough, like
I mean, it's not
going to
tear easily.
Right.
You know?
Mm. It's not like a bit of tissue.
No, but it's quite soft, but it's definitely a different texture to your lips. What about your tummy?
Oh, it's quite soft.
Yeah.
You could rub tubbies instead of a kiss.
Like the Teletubbies.
Is that what they did?
When they go, uh-oh, and then they bump their bellies into each other.
Did they play... TV through their stomach.
Yeah, they were the Teletubbies.
Yeah, isn't that? I always overstepped that. I mean, I guess that was their primary function.
But they didn't use it very much.
They didn't. It was overlooked. I think the producer was like,
I would argue they used it too much because they always made. They always went again, and then you had to watch the video again.
That was madness, wasn't it?
It was absolute madness. They literally just played the same video again, and I would watch it again.
How good was their food, though?
I don't remember.
Tubby custard and tubby toast.
Yeah, that's good. you know what?
Is that products you could buy, or did they eat it on
the
show?
That's what they ate on the show, and Nunu used to clean it up.
I love Nunu. The fascinating thing is that every single one of us was too old to watch the we were not age appropriate to be watching Teletubbies.
I had a sister, younger sister. It was my excuse.
Our younger sister.
I had
a
low cultural IQ, I would say.
Low self-esteem.
Look at you now. You've seen every version of A Star Is Born, almost.
Almost.
Yeah,
I'd still say I have quite a low cultural IQ.
No, you know every actor in every movie. I'm always like this. I've never seen any movie, and who's that actor? I don't know. That's like me in every conversation about pop culture.
That is you dead on, actually. Yeah. This is my impression of you. What?
Oh.
Because you always look up from your computer and say, what?
What? I want to know what's going on.
You, what are you guys talking about?
Always want to know what got... Yeah, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah, because they want to be part of it.
You will ask that when you know people are having conversations that you are not meant to be a part of.
Yeah, and then I find out what's going on.
Yeah, it's incredible. That's back good, of your knees, that is a soft part of your body.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know the little bit in the bottom of your thumb? That little bit?
Yes, I love that bit, actually. I love
that bit as well.
You practice kissing on that bit.
Oh, I reckon that's us.
Yeah, I'm going to take this little bit of my thumb home.
Yeah.
And kiss it more.
Oof.
Into the night. Now I'm going to go to my boyfriend's and probably have real sex.
Let's all just wrap up
on
this.
Awesome. I'm not going to. It's too late.
I'm going to go home, and I think that diarrhea that I was allegedly holding in
is going to come out.
I reckon that's where I'm heading.
Let's leave
and
on.
And maybe I'll masturbate.
That's hot.
Nice.
Maybe not, though.
Let's finish up on...
Should I do a follow-up about where I end up on that?
Or? Absolutely. Yeah. Keep it. Take
a note. I'll text you guys in the morning and let you know.
Great.
Thank you.
I'll share that.
Do you ever masturbate in the mornings?
Sometimes, but not often.
I'm often running late.
Yeah, same. But I do think it could be something quite cool to do in the morning.
Relax you for the day, eh?
Yeah, well, just quite a nice way to start your
wank
day,
into the
it?
Morning that you want to...
That's the saying.
Yeah, what
wank into the morning that you wanna
that you wanna wank into the day, wank the right way.
Wank
into
in the morning how you wanna wank the rest of the day.
Well, like, you know, it's like start the morning on the right foot. Is sort of what I'm going for.
Start the morning with the right wank.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Start your day 15 minutes late. Wank in the morning. Start your day right.
Masturbate and don't be late.
Oh, that's it, actually.
Masturbate, but don't be late.
Or if your boss is trying to curb masturbation and lateness in the office, they'd say, masturbate and you'll be late.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Male Gaze. Coming up, we'll be watching the brand new Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga version of A Star Is Born. So stay tuned. That's coming.
I can't wait for that, which will be The Male Gaze, A Star Is Born. - Part 3, the Lady Gaga Chronicles.
I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, Mom.
No, it's not a face.
Don't need
it's
to play
not
out,
a
you
face.
Don't need to do that.
It's the male gaze.
So loud.
Gaze.
Wow, it's quite high.
Gaze.
She's taking a sound when you sing that note.
Gaze.
They're both male. Gaze. The male gaze.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.